Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And first we had tofurkey. Now we may have schmeat, short for sheets of meat. Schmeat is the nickname for meat produced in a laboratory from stem cells cultured in a nutrient-rich serum. Although scientists are far from producing a product ready for human consumption, and even farther from one that can be mass-produced, the advances made in developing schmeat has given hope to scientists and environmentalists alike. But when many consumers are skittish about eating genetically modified organisms or GMOs, is the world ready for meat raised in a lab? Joining me now to talk about the potential for lab-produced meat is Michael Spector, New Yorker staff writer on science, technology, and public health, and author of Denialism, How Irrational Thinking Harms the Planet and Threatens Our Lives. Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Give us the science of schmeat. Where do the cells come from, and how do scientists encourage them to grow?
First of all, I think schmeat is a rotten name because it implies that it is somehow synthetic. This is no more, if you believe this kind of meat is synthetic, then you also believe children born through in vitro fertilization are not actually human. Because what they do with these cells is they take cells out of a pig or a cow or a chicken, and they put them in a nutrient broth, and they grow them. And they grow, and then they put them on a sort of plastic scaffolding that can then biodegrade quite easily. And they can grow them into sheets or clumps. You can stimulate them. It's muscle cell, and muscle cells are the vast, vast, vast majority of what we mean when we say meat. But this has a lot of potential. And yes, there are some deep questions to be asked about it.
Scientists then stimulate the cells with electrical impulses so that they develop into muscle fibers instead of just a clump of muscle cells?
Yeah, I mean, muscle cells have to be exercised just the way your muscles have to be exercised. And so in order for them to grow and not just be some mushy clump, they need to be stimulated. Now, what they're doing in a lab often is running a very light electrical current through it, and that does it. That's not really going to work in a mass-produced way. They're trying to figure out how to use the cell's own chemicals to do the stimulation, and they're having some success with that. But you can't just throw a couple muscle cells together and watch it grow, because what you'll get is the same sort of fat, mushy mess that you would get in a human.
Have they gotten to the point where they have anything that anybody can eat?
Nope, not unless you're adventurous in a way that I really wouldn't recommend. I mean, this is not a science experiment, but we're talking about lab work right now. Mm-hmm. They've grown there's a bunch of people doing this, and a bunch of people are successful at growing it. You know, a lot of it is smaller than a thumbnail at this point. That is millions of cells. So growing millions of cells together is a proof of principle, but is it going to feed the world or any part of the world? No. So this is how these things start, and then you have to scale it up. And before you scale it up, I think a lot of questions need to be asked and answered.
Well, you mentioned feeding the world. Is that the ultimate goal here? Is it to be able to mass produce meat for a hungry world that doesn't have to take all the land and other natural resources, that actual animals have to live on in order to produce meat, and it would hopefully someday help to alleviate food shortages among the hungry of the world? Or is this more something that, corporations hope will just provide a cheaper way to grow products to sell in countries like the United States, or neither of those things?
It's certainly not the latter. There are not too many corporations that are excited about this, and one of the reasons they are is because the agricultural industry in this country makes tens of billions of dollars a year. They don't want something coming along and challenging their animals. And I don't think that's really the market that this is primarily intended for. But if you could, I mean, we have some really severe problems coming down the line. We have 9 billion people are going to be on this planet in 50 years. We need to basically grow 70% more food than we do today, and we have to do it on the same land unless we want to screw up the world even more than we have. So with those facts, if you could grow protein, a source of protein, and there are many places where protein is in short supply, Africa, parts of Africa, Asia, it would be certainly a wonderful complement to other ways of eating. I don't think a lot of people think this is going to replace anything. There are also a lot of vegetarians out there, and they're vegetarians for many reasons, sometimes for moral reasons and sometimes for health reasons. And in both those instances, if you were growing meat in a lab, you wouldn't have those problems. And in fact, you can program the type of fats into a steak or hamburger that would actually be good for you. And, you know, some people I interviewed for this story said, you know, at some point, your doctor may be prescribing hamburgers rather than proscribing them.
People who are vegetarians sometimes are vegetarians because they don't like the way that animals are treated in factory farms and things like this.
Right.
So as you described the science, it would still be animal product if you're taking stem cells. I guess you're using laboratory animals at some level, but there's, you know, there's no growth into an animal as we generally think about it or techniques that we generally call farming. Is the animal rights community reacting to Schmidt one way or another?
The animal rights community, I mean, Ingrid Newkirk, who is the head of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is one of its biggest supporters.
Really?
She offered $1 million about, I think, 4 years ago now to the first team that could make a chicken in a lab that was indistinguishable from the type of chicken we eat now. Because for her, I mean, there are lots of reasons to be a vegetarian, but one of them is that the way we treat animals in this world and certainly in this country is reprehensible. And if you could grow meat without having to do that, that would alleviate a lot of the objections some people have.
In fact, we have a comment on our Facebook page where we ask people if they're vegetarians, if they would eat meat. Cassandra says, "I'm vegan, but I wouldn't eat it because it sounds gross. That said, I would love to see meat eaters switch from actual animal flesh to this."
Yeah, listen, it does sound gross, and I can understand that. We're in early days. But if you watch how your meat gets made, grown, shot with antibiotics and hormones and killed, there's not much that's grosser than that out there.
Some animal rights activists, I understand, though the PETA folks are for it, believe that Schmidt will hit the mass market through agribusiness or McDonald's. And so in their view, the message should be no meat instead of lab meat. Human taste for meat increases animal suffering, and so our taste has to change.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a realist, and we have billions of people on this planet, and we have been eating meat since the beginning of the word we, and I don't think that's going to disappear. So I think it's far more useful to think about ways that are healthy for humans and the planet than to say, gee, what we really need to do is stop eating meat. Because I just don't think that's going to happen, even though, you know, for health reasons, certainly a drastic reduction in the amount of meat we eat would be great.
Emma on her Facebook page writes, "Can't be any more toxic than the stuff they put in meat these days."
No, but
we just have 20 seconds. But there's considerable resistance to genetically modified organisms in our food. The Food and Drug Administration is reviewing an application from a company for permission to market genetically engineered salmon to consumers. And the hormone, which is the source of considerable controversy, forces the salmon to grow twice as fast than normal. And so there are all these concerns, right?
There are concerns, and they need to be dealt with. And I don't think you can introduce a product like this until society talks about it and figures out what they want. And but I really do think it's worth pursuing.
Michael Spector, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And everybody, thanks for listening today. And one more invitation to join me on Sunday to observe the 10th anniversary of September 11th and connect with other listeners and special guests like Era Lewis, Pete Hamill, and Leanne Hansen, beginning at 8:40 Sunday morning on 93.9 FM, WNYC. Hope to talk to you then.